Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We set aside one day a week to examine in greater depth issues that I believe are important for us that are not getting any attention in either the mainstream or alternative medias. Today, the latest on health and healing. Always we start with that because that's very empowering. That means that no matter what your walk of life, you'll come away with something that if you choose will allow you to live a longer and healthier life. Then we go into environmental issues. And we're going to go into several, and I'll just give you some of the headlines. The EPA finds water safe to drink despite explosive levels of methane and other toxins. Well, hello. It's not safe then, and we'll show you the corruption at the EPA. All about gas hydrofracking. Then Monsanto, a half a century of health scandals by Soren Silo of La Mode, one of the most respected publications in the world. Why is it that all of the people in France who read La Mode will know about how corrupt Monsanto is, and yet Barack Obama has invited the people from Monsanto repeatedly into the White House. Members of Congress allow them to actually draft legislation. And then we hire Michael Taylor and others to run agencies like the Food Protection Agency at the FDA. So we'll tell you about Monsanto's sordid background. Then we're going to look at four different commentaries in depth. I've had a lot of people say, how likely is it that the solar storms could really cause some major problems? Well, the evidence is growing. Matthew Stein from Truthout, 400 Chernobyl, solar flares, electromagnetic pulses, nuclear Armageddon. That's just one. And then we're going to talk about, from Washington Blog, the government spends trillions on unlikely threats but won't spend $1 billion to prevent the very real possibility of nuclear global catastrophe. We're spending money combating the wrong dangers. And studies show that people are worrying about the wrong things. So we're going to realign our thoughts on that. And then from Glenn Ford. And Glenn Ford, by the way, is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant scholars and essayists and commentators in the United States. And he does Black Agenda Radio. And he has written a commentary that it's not long, but it's important, called Why Barack Obama is the More Effective Evil. So, and he presented this at the Left Forum, of which I was one of the presenters last week. So those, plus one last one, time permitting. And this is from, this is about Glenn Greenwald. Obama takes Bush's secrecy games one step further. After repeatedly boasting about it in public, Obama officials tell courts it cannot confirm the CIA drone program. So we'll get into all these. As you see, these are all important issues. And as I mentioned 2 years ago, expect the United States to lose its position in the next 24 to 36 months as the reserve currency. Now, what that will mean, I won't go into it now. It will mean that the value of the dollar will drop, the money you have right now in your savings account, retirement fund, or in your pocket, by anywhere from 20 to 50%. That's without hyperinflation, but already we have inflation. If you doubt me, look at the price of food. Now, this is the newest. BRICS move to unseat dollar as a trade currency. And this is from mainstream economic reporting. South Africa will this week we're in right now, take some initial steps to unseat the U.S. dollar as the preferred worldwide currency for trade and investment in emerging economies. I'll get into that. I predicted it. I told you it was going to happen and why you have to know where to put your money and how to position yourself. Also, I don't know if we'll have time. If not today, then tomorrow. Feeding the homeless is banned in major cities all across America, from Philadelphia, New York, and Dallas, and Houston. It's now against the law to feed a homeless person anything. Didn't think it was possible? Well, how many other things did you not think was possible? I had a discussion last night. If you were not able to listen to it, please download the show. I had an in-depth conversation on what's happening with the Patriot Act and all these executive orders by one of the best scholars in the United States. Very methodical, very even. And once you hear how bad it really is, you think, well, why didn't we know about this? Why didn't our official spokespersons on the left or right awaken us? Because they're the ones who wrote the rules. If you're officially left or officially right, the corporate left, the corporate right, you have nothing in common with the historical liberal Democrat. You have nothing in common with workers' rights or unions. If you're of the traditional conservative Republican, you have nothing in common as far as making government work and be efficient and at the size necessary to fill the public's needs. You have no one in there speaking on your behalf about stopping globalization and militarization. You have the new corporate Republican conservative, the new corporate Democrat liberal. And I keep saying it over and over again until finally someone's going to get it. If you're looking for the people on Fox or MSNBC or Current to have the answers, they don't. They're the problem, not the solution. That's why we're creating alternative forums. Now, let's begin our program. I will be taking calls a little later on the show. I've mentioned many times why chocolate's good for you, assuming that it's a healthy chocolate, meaning an organic chocolate that doesn't have sugars and dairy in it. Well, this is from the Archives of Internal Medicine. Quote, chocolate can help make you thinner. This is because, and it also can lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol levels. That's according to a new study. Quote, adults who consume chocolate more frequently have lower blood body mass index, meaning fat, than those who consume chocolate less often. And this was done at the University of California, San Diego by Dr. Golem. Now, we're talking about people who really are into chocolate for health are into healthier chocolates. So that's good. So eat healthy chocolates. There are hundreds of new products coming out on the market. And first of all, I commend the people who are, these are not major corporations. These are home-based business people. These are people doing something unique and taking a chance and bringing something that's healthy and interesting and creative to the market. And good for them. We're there to support them. Vitamin D deficiency can cause grave diseases. This is from Knight Rider Tribune Business, and here's what it says. Inadequate sun exposure and vitamin D deficiency have put people at risk of serious illnesses, including cardiovascular disease, tuberculosis, cancer, and diabetes. Inadequate sun exposure and vitamin D deficiency have also been linked to multiple serious illnesses. And so what we have to understand is we need to spend about an hour a day with at least one-third of our body exposed. So if you wore some shorts and a T-shirt, that'll do it. If you're out, you know, going for a run and you run for an hour in the morning, that's good also. Or if you just want to go out on your balcony, if you have one, or your backyard and get some sun, but don't let the window block it because that changes and alters the sun that's hitting you. You'll get more of the infrared, which is heating and burning rays, less of the ultraviolet. So just get that sun, get that vitamin D. It's important for you. Now, let's say you're a person that has a high blood sugar, which, by the way, 80 million Americans have. It's our fastest growing epidemic, disease epidemic in the United States. One more thing we can do to help ourselves is alginate gels, brown seaweed, adding extracts. From brown seaweed to a meal can reduce your blood sugar spikes by 14%, and that can help people with risk of type 2 diabetes. You can put it into a drink in the morning. You can put it into a casserole, a soup. Quote, there is evidence to suggest alginate ingestion results in gel lump formation, which alters nutrient transport in the small intestine. This is according to the Journal of Functional Foods. So that's one way, especially for people who are diabetic, not to end up with those spikes, which can be deadly. From Science Daily, from the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session. This was interesting. See, you have to read what the article says. This article's title is Dietary Isoflavone Intake is Associated with Lower Systolic Blood Pressure, Coronary Artery Risk Development in Young Adults Study. Okay, in lay language, here's what it says. A compound, isoflavones, found in soy products will lower your blood pressure. Now, you can buy non-genetically engineered soy, organic soy, and you can buy isoflavones, ISO, isoflavones, F-L-A-V-O-N-E-S, one word, isoflavones. And that's what is used in soy milk or tofu, even green tea. So every day when you're having this, it's helping lower your blood pressure. Quote, what's unique about this study is the results are very applicable to the general population. Our results strongly suggest a blood pressure benefit from moderate amounts of dietary isoflavone intake in young black and white adults. This is from Columbia University's College of Physicians and Surgeons and the lead researcher. Our study is the first to show a benefit in African Americans who have a higher incidence of high blood pressure with an earlier onset and more severe end organ damage. That means kidney and liver failure. And it's not a lot. Wow. We're talking about 100 grams. That's 3 ounces. You'd get that in an 8-ounce glass of soy milk. So get your soy milk instead of cow's milk, and you'll be getting that. Most people don't snack on raisins, but they should. This is according to Science Daily, a scientific session of cardiovascular experts said the following. If you have slightly higher than normal blood pressure, known as prehypertension, consider eating a handful of raisins. New data suggests that among individuals with mild increases in blood pressure, the routine consumption of raisins 3 times a day may significantly lower blood pressure, especially when compared to eating other common snacks. And this was according to the American College of Cardiology's latest conference. Now, I suggest getting, you can get Manuka raisins, organic. You've got the Himalayan raisins, which are big and tasty. And just all remember, always wash everything that comes out of a bag. Because you don't know that when it was picked, how many hands picked it, what was on their hands, and then whether or not what was picked was actually cleaned. So this way, just wash them. And, you know, that way you're not going to pick up any parasites or bacteria. Now, something that I was just asked the other day by a senior citizen, and I have 2 more months of being out of New York, and when I come back, I'll be turning over to my editors 2 new films, at least what's called principal photography, meaning the edited, the film version. Then they have to do all of their wonderful post-production work, and it's really an art. And I feel gifted and blessed that I have so many good editors working on projects, because not all editors are equal in their talent, which is one of the reasons I believe that our films continue to be acknowledged in no small measure because of what they're able to do in post-production. But there was a senior citizen, a gentleman, 72 years of age, who is living just on Social Security. But the trouble is, it's not enough to pay all of his bills. And it's amazing what he goes through to try to earn extra income. And he says that he cannot afford to buy organic, though he would like to. And at one time, when he was gainfully employed, he did. And so I said, well, are you aware that you have a farmer's market? Because I saw it coming through town. He wasn't aware of that. And I said, and they have organic food, which is about 1/3 less expensive than what you're going to find in your regular supermarket or health food store. And he said, okay, I'm going to get over there. But what are the foods that are the most dangerous as far as all those chemicals they spray on them? And I thought, well, I'll bet a lot of people could appreciate knowing that, because a lot of people may also believe that it's too expensive to eat healthy. Not true. Not true at all. In fact, when I produced a film, I took a regular guy on the street. We stopped this fella. And I asked him, I said, would you be willing to be a good sport and work with us on this, you know, thing we're filming here for PBS stations? He said, what is it? I said, well, we want to see what the average person shops for and who has a family. And this person has a family of four kids, wife and himself, so six people, and how much he spends. So he was good about it, and he went through the store and bought what he normally would buy and then went to the checkout counter. And as he checked each thing out, I told him what was good or bad about it, and almost everything was bad. And then I went back through with him and selected foods based upon his cultural preferences. He was Latino, and he was about 80 pounds overweight. So he told me what his tastes were, what he likes. And he likes ham, and he likes butter, and he likes fried food. So I showed him the foods he could buy. We saved over 45%. So for a regular working class person to save 45% and really have healthy foods and also have the taste, and I showed him different seasonings that he could use, like there's a natural smoked hickory. It's like a yeast, but it has a bacony smell to it and a taste. When you put that on tempeh strips, which are sold in the health food stores, you literally think you're eating bacon if you want to eat bacon. For those who do, then they're eating something that's actually healthy, but they're getting the mouthfeel, the taste, the smell, and the after effect of eating bacon, but there's no bacon, and it's a lot less expensive. So anyhow, that all went into the film. And this is one of the things that I try to help people with, is to show them how to stretch their dollar and that it's actually cheaper to eat healthy. For example, what do you think a pound of potato chips cost? Mind you, you can't buy a pound of potato chips. You buy them in 2 to 3 ounces, anywhere from $2 to $3. Well, then how many ounces in a pound? Now, that's about $15. For a pound of potato chips, and all you're getting are trans fats, acrylamides, and high sodium. How much does an organic potato cost? A pound? About 60 cents. Ah, 60 cents for something healthy, $15 for something sick. So the knee-jerk reaction, I can't afford to be healthy, I can't afford organic. Well, let's start all over, wipe that clean, and we'll show you that it's not we can. In fact, one of the people I hired who does a lot of help with people, but it's just showing them how to make healthier selections, especially when it comes to cooking, because a lot of people don't know how to cook and are afraid to cook and they're bored with cooking because they don't know how to make it interesting. And there's someone that's on staff now that they show people how to cook, how to season for a single person, older person, a family, people with special needs, diabetics, heart disease, cancer patients. And if anybody wants to speak with her, you can call 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000. And her name is Dr. Nadia, and she'll help you. Anyhow, we have four people that help people, but she's the cook, and so she helps people with the food part. So here are the foods that I would suggest you not eat unless they're organic. Because the pesticides and other chemicals are not just on the surface. They can go into the actual root system, and they're very dangerous. Apples. Top of my list, 42 known pesticide residues found in USDA pesticide data program. 7 of the 42 pesticides are known carcinogens. 19 of those are suspected hormone disruptors. 10 are neurotoxins, and 6 are developmental reproductive toxins, and they're all bad. Cherries, they contain 42 known pesticide residues, and 7 are also carcinogenic, and 22 are hormone disruptors, and 7 are neurotoxins. And then green beans, you have 44 pesticides in your average serving of green beans. 8 of them are known carcinogens, 22 are suspected hormone disruptors, and 11 are neurotoxins. And imagine you have a child that's been diagnosed as autistic, and then you start wanting to feed him healthier, so you're feeding him green beans or collard greens. Collard greens has 46 known pesticide residues, and And of those 10 are neurotoxins. Well, you already have a neurotoxic child. Why in the world would you feed them neurotoxins? But people are unaware of that. Spinach has 48 pesticide residues. And 25 are hormone disruptors. Well, you don't want hormone disruption in a person that's already hormone disrupted. Sweet bell peppers, green, red, yellow, doesn't matter. Almost 50 known, 49 pesticide residues. 11 are known carcinogens. 26 are hormone disruptors. 13 are neurotoxins. Lettuce, across the board, your lettuces, 51 known pesticide residues. 12 of them are carcinogenic. 29 of them are hormone disruptors. 9 are neurotoxins. Blueberries, 52. Strawberries, 54 pesticide residues. Kale, 55. Peaches, 62. Celery has the most of all. Never, I repeat, never juice celery if it's not organic. 64 known pesticides, 13 are known carcinogens, 31 suspected hormone disruptors, 12 neurotoxins. You don't want that. But right behind these would be broccoli with 33, cucumbers 35, grapes are 34, potatoes 37, tomatoes 35. Now, which are the ones, if you cannot get to a store and you must buy them regular? The lowest concentration of pesticide residues would be onions. There's only one known pesticide residue found on USDA pesticide data and no carcinogen. So onions, number one, asparagus, that's okay, almonds, grapefruit, and bananas. So those are the best and those are the worst that you should be using. And we're going to have more on recipes. I'm going to start up giving you a recipe each week, an original vegan, healthy, power foods recipe. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Some of you may not have access to internet, and if for any reason you can never hear this program over the radio, you can always use your phone anywhere in the United States, North America. Call 832-280-0066, 832-280-0066. And now we're going to a few of the issues that I believe are very important involving our environment. First up, the EPA. This is according to Water Defense. Quote, in the middle of an investigation into water contamination caused by natural gas drilling, hydrofracking, with only partial results from less than 20% of households being investigated, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Regional 3 Office issued a press release implying that Dymock, Pennsylvania's water had been given a clean bill of health. But it wasn't clean. Independent testing had found that 11 Dymock families' water is contaminated with explosive levels of methane, as well as heavy metals, radioactive material, and fracking chemicals like ethylene glycol, commonly known as antifreeze. Would partial preliminary test results convince you that Dymock's water was safe for your children to drink? this mismanagement of the crisis in Dimock is just one of a long list of failures to protect citizens from the hazards of gas drilling. And the circumstances of Region 3 press release raise more questions than answer. Why hasn't the EPA released the test results publicly so that independent scientists and the public can evaluate the results? And because we know how powerful the special interests are. Let's take a look at Monsanto from Soren Silo of La Mode. I'll quote this. Monsanto, a half century of health scandals. The giant U.S. agribusiness Monsanto was found guilty on Monday, February 13th, after being sued by a small farmer from Chartres who had been poisoned by an herbicide. This event is the first in France. On the scale of the history of the 100-year multinational, this sentence constitutes just one more episode in an already long record of court procedures. PCBs, Agent Orange, dioxin, GMOs, aspartame, growth hormones, herbicides like Lasso and Roundup, a number of products that have made the fortune of Monsanto have been marred by health scandals and trials, sometimes leading to their prohibition. But nothing has so far hindered the irresistible rise of this former chemical giant who converted back to biogenetics and has mastered the art of lobbying. Since its creation in 1901 in St. Louis, the small producer of saccharin that became one of the leading seed producers on the planet has continued to make headlines. After the Second World War, the accidental explosion of a Monsanto plastics factory caused a French freighter loaded with nitrate, which caused 500 deaths in a Texas city in 1947, has remained in history as one of the first disasters of the chemical industry. 2 years later, it was the turn of a second plant of the firm, the Nitro Virginia, to go up in smoke. This time, the responsibility of the company was engaged. More than 200 workers develop a skin disease as rare as it is severe. And this was featured in the documentary, The World According to Monsanto. The accident reveals that the flagship brand, the herbicide 245T, contains high levels of dioxins, highly toxic and carcinogenic. A composition comparable to that of polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs. The first study suggesting the potential danger of dioxin was known to Monsanto in 1938. The commercialization of herbicide will continue for nearly another 40 years before it was banned in the 1970s. Monsanto, who led the Nitro plant between 1934 and 2000, has also been the subject of a legal action filed in 2007 by 77 people in Virginia suffering from cancer who accused the company of having dumped dioxins illegally in the vicinity of the plant. Then we look at PCBs, the trail of shame. In 2001, 3,600 inhabitants of the city of Anniston, Alabama, attacked Monsanto for PCB contamination. According to a report declassified by the U.S. Agency for Environmental Protection, Monsanto, for almost 40 years, dumped thousands of tons of contaminated waste in a stream and an open garbage dump in the heart of a black neighborhood in the city. The way the Washington Post reported the story is instructive. Quote, Monsanto documents, many emblazoned with warnings such as confidential, read and destroy, show that for decades the corporate giant concealed what it did and what it knew. In 1966, Monsanto managers discovered that fish submerged in that creek turned belly up within 10 seconds, spurting blood and shedding skin as if dunked into boiling water. They told no one. End quote. In 1975, a study conducted by Monsanto showed that PCB caused tumors in rats. The multinational decided to change the terms of, quote, slightly tumorigenic to, quote, does not appear to be carcinogenic, quote, we cannot afford to lose a single dollar, end quote. Thus ends one of the memos by the Washington Post. Monsanto was finally convicted in 2002 of having polluted, quote, the territory of Anniston and the blood of its people with the PCB, end quote. The firm was ordered to pay $700 million in damages and to guarantee the cleanup of the city. No legal action was brought against the company officials. In February 2007, The Guardian revealed that the agrochemical giant applied the same methods on multiple sites in Britain between 1965 and 1972. The newspaper had access to a government report showing that 67 products, including Agent Orange, dioxin, PCBs, had been identified in aquarian wells in France. The manufacture and use of PCB has been banned since 1987. Then we got Agent Orange. During the same years, between 1961 and 71, Monsanto produced Agent Orange, made up from the herbicide 2,4-5-T, whose dangerousness has been widely known ever since the explosion at the Nitro plant. This defoliant was massively dumped by the U.S. aircrafts over Vietnamese forest during the war. The consequences are still felt today, with many cancers and birth defects occurring in Vietnam, as well as various effects felt by many U.S. veterans. In the 1970s, the Vietnam veterans opened a class action against the manufacturers of Agent Orange. Monsanto, alongside six other companies, was found to be the major guilty party in a lawsuit concerning damages for poisoning. In 1987, the seven manufacturers of Agent Orange were sentenced to pay $180 million to a compensation fund to U.S. soldiers. During the trial, Monsanto presented scientific studies showing no link between exposure dioxin and the cancers suffered by many veterans. In order to dismiss their action, it was demonstrated in the early 1990s that the studies based on the consequences of the explosion at the Nitro plant were biased. This scientific fraud is confirmed by the National Research Council, which found that Monsanto studies, quote, suffer from misclassification between those exposed and not exposed to dioxin, and that this scientific fraud is confirmed by the National Research Council, and that they were biased in order to obtain the desired effect, end quote. The case will be brought up again. Now, do you remember the advertising and the good dog Rex, quote, Roundup does not pollute either the earth or Rex's bones, end quote. It caused Monsanto to be convicted twice in the United States and France for false statements placed on the packaging of the total herbicide, which eliminates all plants. In 1975, the company launched Roundup, a very powerful herbicide presented as a, quote, biodegradable and, quote, good for the environment. In 1996, the New York prosecutor condemned Monsanto, which was fined $50,000 and forced to withdraw statements deemed misleading. In January 2007, the firm was condemned in France for the same reasons, 15,000 euros in fines. Roundup is today the world's best-selling herbicide. Several corroborating studies say, however, that the pesticide, which is Monsanto's flagship, and its active ingredient, glyphosate, is potentially a teratogenic, that is to say, responsible for fetal malformations. One of them, published late 2010 in Chemical Research and Toxicology, shows that direct exposure of amphibian embryos at very low doses of glyphosate herbicide results in malformations. Now, this a special Supreme Court has dealt another blow to Monsanto's flagship product. The director of Ministry of Agriculture in France to analyze the toxicity within 6 months and decide once again whether the marketing of the pesticide should be authorized. In Argentina, people exposed to the herbicide complain of multiple health problems. Then you have the herbicide Lasso, L-A-S-S-O. The sentence that struck Monsanto's second herbicide on Monday, February 13th, is more significant. French judges have, in effect, held that the manufacturer of crop protection products must, quote, fully indemnify the plaintiff, Paul Francis. This farmer is now working only part-time, suffering from chronic fatigue and persistent headaches. Doctors consider his central nervous system was affected as a result of inhalation of Lasso. Monsanto appealed. Monsanto products comply with safety requirements in place at the time of the placing on the market. Well, that's what they said. Now, growth hormones and the scandal at Fox News. In early 1990, Monsanto launched their first product derived from biotechnology, Prosilac, the recombinant bovine growth hormone, genetically engineered hormone designed to increase the production of milk in cows by nearly 20%. This hormone leads to metastasis, inflammation of the other, which forces farmers to treat their cows with antibiotics, which one of them finds ends up in the milk. this so-called miracle product is now banned everywhere except in the United States. A Canadian documentary, The Corporation, talks about how Monsanto pressured Fox's Murdoch to prevent it from disseminating a survey revealing the dangers of Prosulac in 1997. This excerpt illustrates the particular aggressive lobbying that this company has been paying for. Not only was the investigation never released, but its authors were dismissed by Fox News. Between 1995 and 1997, genetically modified soybean Roundup Ready and Roundup Ready Canola and Roundup Ready Cotton, all three resistant to the herbicide Roundup, received marketing authorization. And since its patent on glyphosate has expired, the company has decided to change its strategy and undertake the patenting of life forms. It currently produces 90% of all the genetically modified organisms in the world. This is a virtual monopoly that the firm defends dearly. During the 2000s, Monsanto will accuse hundreds of farmers and courts of having used fraudulently its patented transgenic genes, that is to say that they are accused of having replanted them. Monsanto claims the rights of intellectual property on some seeds. This did not prevent it from itself being prosecuted for acts of biopiracy. In August 2011, the National Biodiversity Authority of India announced it had filed suit against the company, accusing it of having developed a genetically modified eggplant, BT, from local varieties without having sought authorization. And finally, aspartame. Monsanto states clearly on its website, after having been a leading producer in the 1980s and 90s, the company has no longer been producing aspartame. The company still insists, however, on the fact that this most widely used sweetener, quote, causes no disease. However, recent studies have demonstrated an increased risk of premature births in women who use aspartame. The European Food Safety Authority has even was invited in May by the European Commission to plan a complete reassessment of the safety of aspartame this year. That's just some. Now, why is it that you know this information, and that's only part of the information, and yet this is one of the most loved corporations by the Democrats and Republicans in the White House and all the presidents because they give a lot of money? I'm Gary Nall, and finally, on our commentaries before we go to our phones, this is from Glenn Ford from opednews.com. The title of his article, Why Barack Obama is the More Effective Evil. And I'll quote this from his lecture at the Left Forum. And I'll post this on our website. Quote, let me say from the very beginning that we at Black Agenda Report do not think that Barack Obama is the lesser evil. He is the more effective evil. He has been more effective in evil doing than Bush in terms of protecting the citadels of corporate power and advancing the imperial agenda. He has put both Wall Street and U.S. imperial power on new and more aggressive tracks, just as he hired himself out to do. That was always Wall Street's expectation of Obama, and he promised it to them. That's why they gave him far more money in 2008 than they gave John McCain. They were buying Obama's futures on the electoral political market, and they made out like bandits. They invested in Obama to protect them from harm, as a hedge against the risk of systemic disaster caused by their own predations. And it's a good bet, a good deal. It paid out in tens of trillions of dollars. If you believe that what Wall Street does is evil, then Obama's service to Wall Street is evil, and there is nothing lesser about it. They had vetted Obama thoroughly before he even set foot in the U.S. Senate in 2004. He protected their interests there, helping shield corporations from class action suits, voting against caps on credit card interest. He was their black guy, and some of us were saying that back then. He was the banker's guy in the Democratic presidential primary race. Among the last three standing in 2008, it was Obama who opposed any moratorium on home foreclosures. John Edwards supported a mandatory moratorium. Hillary Clinton said she wanted a voluntary halt to foreclosures. But it was Barack Obama who opposed any moratorium. Let it run its course, said candidate Obama. And in true to his word, he has let the foreclosures run their catastrophic course. Only a few months later, when the crunch came and the finance capital was in meltdown, Who rescued Wall Street? Not George Bush. Bush tried, but he was spent, discredited, ineffective. Not John McCain. He was in a coma, coming unglued, totally ineffective. Bush's bailout failed on a Monday. By Friday, Obama had convinced enough Democrats in opposition to roll over, and the bailout passed, setting the stage for a new dispensation between the American state and Wall Street, in which a permanent pipeline of tens of trillions of dollars would flow directly into Wall Street accounts via the Federal Reserve. And Obama had not even been elected yet. True to his word, he had let the foreclosures run their catastrophic course. Obama put Social Security and Medicare and all entitlements on the table in mid-January. The Republicans had suffered resounding defeat. Nobody was pressuring Obama from the right. When the right was on its butt, Obama stood up and spoke in his stead. There was no evil devil forcing him to put entitlements on the chopping block. It was him. He was the evil one, and it was not a lesser evil. It was a very effective evil. Because the current age of austerity began that day, January 2009, and Obama had not even been sworn in as president yet. Who is the effective evil? I haven't even gotten into the actual term as president, much less his expansion of the theaters of war, his unique assaults on international law, his massacre of due process of law in the United States. But I want to pause right here, because piling up facts on Obama's most effective evils doesn't seem to do any good if the prevailing conversation isn't really about facts, but about intentions. The prevailing assumption on the left is that Obama has good intentions. He intends to do the right thing, or at least he intends to do better than the Republicans intend to do. It's all supposed to be about intentions. Let's be clear. There's absolutely no factual basis to believe he intends to do anything other than the same thing he has already done, whether Democrats control Congress or not, which is to serve Wall Street's most fundamental interest. But the whole idea of debating Obama's intentions is ridiculous. It's psychobabble, not analysis. No real left would engage in it. I have no doubt that Newt Gingrich and the Republicans in general have worse intentions for the future of my people, of black people, than Michelle Obama's husband does. But that doesn't matter. Black people are not going to roll over for whatever nightmarish apocalypse the sick mind of Newt Gingrich would like to bring about. But they've already rolled over for Obama's economic apocalypse in black America. There has been very little resistance, which is just another way of saying that Obama has successfully blunted any retribution by organized African Americans against the corporate powers that have devastated and destabilized black America in ways that have little precedence in modern times. Obama has protected these Wall Streeters from what should be the most righteous wrath of black folks. To take a riff from Shakespeare's Othello, Obama has done Wall Street a great service, and they know it. He has proven to be fantastically effective at serving the supremely evil. Don't you dare call him the lesser. He is the more effective evil because black folks, historically the most progressive cohort in the United States, and liberals, and even lots of folks that call themselves Marxists, let him get away with murder. Yet people still insist on calling him a lesser evil, while he drives a stake through due process of law. I've not spoken much about the second half of Obama's first term in office. That is the period when the left generally becomes disgusted with what they call his excessive compromises and cave-ins to Republicans. But that is profoundly wrong reading of reality. Obama was simply continuing down his own road to austerity, the one he himself had initiated before taking office. The only person caving in and compromising to the Republicans was the Obama that many of you made up in your heads. The real Obama was the initiator of this austerity nightmare, a nightmare scripted on Wall Street, which provided the core of Obama's policy team from the very beginning. That's why Obama's so-called financial reform was so diligent in making sure the derivatives were virtually untouched. The real Obama retained Bush's Secretary of War because he was determined to repackage the imperial experience and expand the scope and theaters of war. He would dress up the war machine head to foot in a chatter of humanitarianism and march deep and deeper into Africa. He would make merciless and totally unprovoked war against Libya and then tell Congress there had been no war at all and that it was none of their business anyway. And he got away with it. Now, That is the most effective evil warmongering imaginable. Don't you dare call him a lesser evil. Obama is awesomely evil. In conclusion, Obama has advanced the corporation of the public schools beyond Bush's wildest dreams, methodically constructing a national parallel system of charter schools that in practice undermine and subvert the traditional public schools. In some places, they have replaced or even soon will replace the public schools. The hedge funds and billionaires are ecstatic. The teachers' unions then endorse their undertaker, foolishly believing he is the lesser evil. So what does the left do in this election? The left should do what it is supposed to do here in the belly of the beast at all times, disarm the beast. This is their singular duty, not to advise the beast, but to disarm it. At this time on the world historical clock, that means ripping the farcical humanitarian veil from the face of the U.S. wars. And that face is Obama's face. No genuine anti-war activist can endorse the war maker Obama. If you want to resist actual imperial wars, you might fight Obama, period. Anything else is to endorse or acquiesce in his wars. You can attend the United Nations Anti-War Coalition Conference in Stamford, Connecticut next weekend, where you can meet with an array of organizations that begin a calendar of activities that will stretch past Election Day. If the Green Party or any other party firmly opposes Obama's humanitarian Orwellian farce, then support them. If they don't, then don't lift a finger for them. If you're going to fight for anything, you've got to fight for the right to fight. That means fighting for the rule of law, so you don't plan to go underground or into exile anytime soon. You might fight the president who claims the right to imprison or kill any person of any nationality, any place on earth, for reasons known only to him. That man excelled George Bush by shepherding preventative detention through Congress, Barack Obama, the more effective evil. End quote, Glenn Ford. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Knoll, and we'll take some calls, and let's say hello to Myron, our media expert in the studio in New York City. Hi, Myron.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Good to hear. I have here a letter addressed to you and the team here for Knocking on the Devil's Door. Your film about nuclear fallout, the nuclear threat. It says, "Dear filmmakers, congratulations. Your project has been chosen as a Gold Kahuna Award winner at the 2012 Honolulu Film Awards, which is their highest level of recognition. Only a maximum of 10 projects can be selected to receive this distinguished level of recognition." And then it invites us all out to Honolulu to be part of the award ceremony. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. When is the award ceremony?
The award ceremony is on May 5th.
Okay, I'm on the road. Here's what I'll do. If any of our listeners are listening from Hawaii and want to attend in our place, I'll be happy to, give them the information and you can go to the dinner. And if you've never been to one of these award dinners, really nice, because you get to see all the independent films and directors and documentaries. It's quite an interesting and wonderful experience, and you can go up and select the award and on our behalf. And we've done this repeatedly, but when I can't get there. So if anyone lives, which island is it?
It's on the main island.
Main island? Okay.
It's in Honolulu.
Honolulu. Then just give them your phone number. Or your email, or
You can just email PRN, or I'm sorry, socialmedia@garynoll.com, and I'll be happy to forward the information on to you.
Good, socialmedia@garynoll.com. Excellent. And by the way, good job on the new website. It launched today, didn't it?
It sure did, and I'm pretty excited about it. We took a lot of user feedback, and we really optimized it. You'll find that it's a little less cluttered. It's easier to find certain things, and all everything's up front now, all the latest podcasts and our featured articles. We hope you'll find it a lot easier to navigate now, and we'd definitely love to hear your comments on it. So go on to prn.fm, and hopefully everything's going to be easy to find and right to the point, so we can get on with the business of empowering you.
Good. And one of the reasons we did this new website is because our intent is to bring you about 100 brand new articles on progressive issues every single day by in about 33 different categories. And this way you have one place to go every 24 hours. You'll have all the information because we've hired people who are working literally 24 hours. So all day, all night, we are loading new articles up that give you the resources that you need. So thank you, Myron, for working on that.
Thanks, Gary.
David from New Rochelle. Hi, David. Your turn. You're up.
Hi there. Yes. First, could you mention something about yogurt, whether that's safe or not? But the most important thing is your movie, The Nuclear Thing. If you never have another edition of it coming out, I would take Palast and put him up front as an introduction and go through like that book he has, The Best Democracy You Can Buy. There's various investigations he's had. Go through those. Tell him what this guy, this amazing guy, has done. Then later on, when he testifies about nuclear, they'll believe him because they'll know how incredible this guy is.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, Greg is in the film repeatedly, and Greg is one of 10 spokespersons who are going out to do debates on the issue. I made the film and the articles that went with it, but because I'm making other films, we have Helen Colicott, Michio Kaku, Carl Grossman, Lenny Wasserman, and Greg Palast and Vandana Shiva. All these people are experts on what's wrong with nuclear, so we have a whole wonderful A-team of people, about 20 people, who are out there doing the conversations. So thank you. I appreciate that input. Desiree from Brooklyn, your turn.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good.
I completely agree with your comment, and I talk to people here in Brooklyn all the time, and I just am so confused by the way they seem to be hypnotized by Barack Obama. It's just like a lover that refuses to acknowledge, you know, they're being cheated on or something. They don't want to give up this hope with him. And no matter what I mention to them, they become angry with me for, you know, suggesting not to vote or to vote for a Green Party candidate.
Well, be understanding. If they're angry, don't become angry in return. Be compassionate, because when you invest so much of your hope in a person who has made so many promises, you don't want to acknowledge that they're not honoring you. You still believe that it's the fault of the Republicans, or there's some reason he hasn't been able to really do everything, and so you keep this hope alive. More often than not, these are people who are very trusting, they're very compatible in being manipulated. And the more sophisticated a person is in doing their homework, like Glenn Ford and others, and Glenn Greenwald, then you're going to find these people marginalized within the official left. They'll be excluded from any conversations. You will not have someone like Glenn Ford being invited on Rachel Maddow to debate her flat out on why she is now such an avid, almost rabid supporter of this president, even acknowledging some of his limitations. But they did the same thing with Clinton. And remember, Clinton gave us the World Trade Organization, NAFTA, GATT, suffering on a massive scale, did not intervene in the massacre in Rwanda, and should have. Plus he took away the Glass-Steagall Act, allowing all this to occur. The hardcore true Clintonite believers, no matter what he did, would always apologize for it. So this is like being the victim in an abusive relationship, and you're the family member or friend says, why are you in this relationship? It's abusive. And the person, you're not seeing him as I see him. No, we all see, but we have to be honest about what we see. Thank you very much, Desiree.
Yeah.
David from New Jersey.
Hello, Gary. Great show. I love it. My question is, I have a 12 foot by 12 foot garden, and they used a weed killer around the perimeter of it in October to kill the weeds. Am I able to use that plot this year to plant?
I would not use that until you do a soil sample, because the most common herbicide used in the United States is the one I talked about, Roundup. And so do a soil sample. It's inexpensive, easy. And that way you see whether there's anything in the soil. If there's nothing in the soil, fine. Then you're good to go.
Very good. Thank you. Great show. Keep up the good work.
Max from New York City, your turn.
Good to go. Very good. Thank you. Great show. Keep up the good work.
Max, you're on the air.
Max from New York City.
I'm sorry. Max seems to be listening over
there.
Yeah,
Gary, thank you for taking my call.
You got to turn
off the radio. This is the first time that I heard anyone speak about Glenn Ford, concerning Glenn Ford in a long time. And prior to your reading his article, I didn't see him in a good light. So I want to thank you for reading his article, because now I look at him a bit better. I look at him in a better light.
Okay, well, good. Well, Glenn does a lot of good work. But once again, like a lot of people, when you go against the people within a given movement that you're a part of, you'll find out how quickly you're marginalized. And that's why we have a home for him on Progressive Radio. And there we don't allow politics to set the agenda, but truth. Thank you very much. For all those of you who've been listening on today's show, and you don't have any more time, we thank you. But we're going to go in studio now and say hello to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. I've come on to let you know that there were Arbitron ratings taken for January and February for WBAI, and the news is that all the other shows have actually gone down, but the show preceding yours and your show have gone right up. The others are all down, sometimes as far as 87%, but the show before yours has gone up by 40%, and your show has gone up to 66%. So only that those slots, the rest of them are down, and I wanted to share that with you because it's a marked difference to the rest of the trend at WBAI.
Well, the whole trend is bad. My show last month went down 92%. And that's what happens when you don't get premiums to people you promise. And we our hands are tied. If the station won't pick up the premiums, there's nothing we can do about it. And even now, I'm asking, pleading with the station, you know, hear the premiums, come and get them out. And it's not happening in a timely way. Only a small percentage are. What it means is this. Today, you must have a different model in order to succeed, to honor the audience. The audience has to come first. Quality broadcasting with the diversity. And most importantly, you have to have something that inspires people to want to turn on the show because you're going to empower them. If all you do is disempower people, if there's just negativity or anger or accusations, then you're only going to get people who have a very low sense of self-esteem and are in a perpetual negative cycle. But that's a tiny percentage of people. If you want the people who are out there today, mainly younger people, you have to reach out to them. And older people who are themselves looking for better answers, you have to give that. I believe that that's what the station has to do, or it'll find itself in a tailspin. And eventually, at the rate that it's losing, I've never in my career, never in my entire career in broadcasting, right, have I seen such a gigantic loss of audience, about 73% across the board in the last rating book. And now I think it's, exclude my show, but overall, I think it's about 60%. You're in the low hundreds right, in prime time. You should be in the 100,000 in prime time. After 55 years and 50,000 watts middle station, if you're in the low hundreds, you could have more people listen to you standing on a street corner. Mm. So clearly, you need management that's professional, broadcasters who are in tune with the real needs of the public, and you need to promote that. And then you need to honor whatever it is that you've asked the audience. You can't have a one-sided relationship. You must be equal in your commitment to honoring the audience. My hope is they do that. If they don't, then they will find themselves in acute crisis. If they do, then there's a chance for a revival, and that's what we hope for. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We're out of time for today. Tomorrow, I will deal with 400 Chernobyl, solar flares, electromagnetic pulses, nuclear. And I will also deal with tomorrow with nuclear power plants, the very real possibility of global nuclear catastrophe from Washington Blob, and why the government will spend trillions on unlikely threats but won't spend even $1 billion that could prevent a very real possibility of global catastrophe. I'll also deal with Glenn Greenwald's commentary tomorrow as well. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow.